One reason I do that is that that way everybody gets woke up and revved up, and by the time I get through, maybe you're not quite as sleepy as what you were if we hadn't have done that. Charlie is still not doing well. He's still coughing. He's working, but he just don't think he can teach a class without having to cough all the time. So I told him I don't know, he hadn't agreed to this yet, but I'd told him that I would just finish I was supposed to be teaching in June, July. Is this July?
Yes.
Yeah. I was supposed to be teaching in July, even though I started last week. I told him I would just finish my 4 weeks that I'd planned, and then he can come back at the end of the month and finish what he was teaching, and he hadn't texted me back to agree to that yet, so we'll see. If he wants to do it next week, we'll let him do it next week. Otherwise, I'll be up here. Last week, I need to finish a story that I had, or an illustration. I forgot the punchline last week when I was talking. One of the things I mentioned was that I like to read Westerns. You know, I like to read Louis L'Amour Westerns. When I was in college, I was reading Louis L'Amour Westerns, Max Brand, Zane Grey, different ones. That's all I did. Instead of my schoolwork, I read Westerns. And the teacher called me in a conference, and he said, "Ronnie, something's happened. Your grade has slipped." I mean, I still had instead of a high C, I was down to a low C, okay? But he said, "You know, something's happened. Your grade has slipped, so we need to see what's going on." I knew what was going on. I was spending all my time reading the Westerns. So I said, "Okay, I'll start working on it." So I decided that instead of reading Max Brand and Zane Grey and all those others, I would just concentrate on Louis L'Amour. And so I didn't read all the other ones. I just read the one writer, and that's what I've been doing for years. And I know those books. You know, the other day when Debbie was going to her chemo, I went out there and I got in my box and started going through the books to see what I wanted to read. And I looked at five or six, and I was thinking, "Man, I know everything." And I finally found a book that I didn't recognize as well as the others, so I grabbed it. And the point of it is that I want us to get to the point that we know this book just like I know those Westerns. You know, I still read them. Even though I know those books, I still read them. I want us to get to the point we know this book so well that we can open it up to whatever chapter, whatever book. I opened up to Proverbs here. I want us to be able to open it up and know what's there. You turn to Daniel and know what's there. You know, I'm pretty good at the first six chapters of Daniel, about the stories and knowing what that's all about. You get to 7 through 12, that's some hard reading. But I want to learn this book just like I know the book, the Louis L'Amour books. And that was the point that I was trying to make last week. And after I got home, I thought, you know, all I did was talk about how I like to read Westerns. I forgot to add the punchline. But I want us to know this book. And that's the reason we encourage you to read your Bible every day. It's so that we can know this book. We can know what it says. We can know what's there. You know, last week we looked at just the idea of where was the gospel preached in the book of Acts. We named different places, the temple, the Jewish synagogue, the desert road, Acts 16, Paul went down by the riverside, and there's where he preached the gospel. Acts 21, 22, you have Paul standing on the steps as he's being arrested and carried by the soldiers. He gets them to stop, and he's preaching to the people from the steps about the gospel of Christ. As you read the book of Acts, you find it's before rulers, such as King Agrippa and Felix and Festus, on a boat. You know, Acts 27, I read one time that Acts 27 is one of the most detailed descriptions of a boat trip that you might have had in that day and time. Depending on the wind, depending on the weather, and the writer describes the dangers. You remember, if you read the story, Paul, as they're going, and they're, Paul tells them, you shouldn't leave. It's not safe. But, you know, Luke says, he writes, he said, but the soldiers or they didn't listen to him, and they took off. And as they're been on the water for so many days, not knowing where they were, Paul stood up to him. If you remember the story, he stood up to him and said, y'all should have listened to me, and you wouldn't be in this kind of danger and this kind of loss. But then he says, but the God that I serve, his angel has told me this night that not anybody's going to be lost. Now, we're going to lose the ship, but everybody will be saved. And I wonder what those soldiers and the ship people thought when Paul said that. You know, I wonder if they got encouragement from it. But we looked at how that he had preached in the book of Acts, in the jail in Acts 16. I still like that story, as they were in shackles, had been beaten. But instead of complaining and griping, they were singing hymns to God. They were just singing to God. You know, our songs today would be, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, stand amazed at Jesus. Can you imagine what the other prisoners and the jailer and the people there thought of when they heard them sing it? And we know that the jailer, when the prison bars was open and he thought they'd all escape, remember, he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. The first question he asked was, what must I do to be saved? He knew there was something different about them, and he wanted to know. And it tells us they took him that night. He cleaned their wounds, took him to his house, and he fed him, and they preached to him, and he was baptized that night. They preached in the house, in the jail, under house arrest. That's how the book of Acts ends, that they preached under house arrest. He was under house arrest, but he spent the time preaching boldly. So I found a statement one time that says, they preached anywhere, everywhere, to crowds, to individuals, to rulers, to everyday people. They just preached the message. And so today, what I want us to look at is, just for a few minutes, who preached the message? Last week, we talked about all the different places that they preached. One I don't think I mentioned was the story of Eutychus. I believe it's in Acts 20 or 21. And the upstairs, a third story, you know, where he fell out of the window. The lesson there is, don't sit too close to the windows. You know, if they're open, don't sit too close to them. that Paul preached to anywhere, everywhere, to anybody. You know, as we look at who preached, you'd start off by saying the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they had those tongues, and they began to speak in other tongues. In verse 14, it says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd." And he began to preach, and they all began to preach. And it says he stood up with the 11. Was all of them preaching? You know, were they all in different spots preaching? But all of them was there, and they were all telling the message. Luke focuses on what Peter was preaching, of how that Peter talked to them about Jesus. And we know that story. We've read it over and over again. But they spent their time in preaching, and it says that when he finished, verse 36, he says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." I mean, he was building up to a point, and that's the point that he was trying to make, that Jesus was the one they'd been looking for, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't see who he was. You know, I'm amazed if you go back and read the Gospels. It looks like the religious leaders would have seen it, would have seen the works that he did, how he helped people, and done a more in-depth study to see, you know, and found out more about Jesus. And instead of just being mad because he was taking the people away from them, because he maybe helped somebody on the Sabbath, instead of getting mad at him, they would have done some studies. Remember when Jesus was born and the wise men came? He came to Herod, and they came to Herod and they said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews?" They had it been so long that they'd forgotten that somebody was coming from God. If you remember the story, that they did a search and they found out that that king would be coming from, would be born in Bethlehem. And so the wise men searched for him until they found him. Now Herod searched for him too, but he wasn't searching for him to worship him. He tried to destroy him. But here in back in Acts, Peter was preaching along with the others, and they began to teach and to tell others about Jesus Christ. And they said in verse 37, "If people heard us, brothers, what shall we do?" We know verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, to all who are far off, all whom God, the Lord our God, will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." I told you I stole a sermon from Bill Bratchoff years ago on what else could they preach. And I didn't steal it from him because I asked him if I could have a copy of his outline, and he gave it to me. So I didn't really steal it. You know, so it's not stealing if you give it to him, right? But, you know, I have preached that sermon at different places. What else could they preach? And when you go back and talk about all the things they could have said about Jesus. But verse 42, It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possession and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Well, they stayed together, listening, preaching, teaching, helping, serving. That's what we do, right? That's the church today. We stay together. We meet together. We continue preaching and teaching and helping those around. So we see Peter and the apostles were preaching. In Acts chapter 3, you have Peter and John going to the temple, and they heal a man. And after they've healed him, they begin to preach. Remember the story? They said, "We don't have silver and gold." That's what Peter told them. "We don't have silver and gold, but we'll give you what we have. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And the man jumped up. Again, my little fly on the wall, you know. Jumped up and followed him, leaping with joy. And they began to preach and began to teach. Once again, they had an opportunity and they preached and told the story of Jesus. I mean, you just keep going through here in chapters 4 and chapter 5. You have the apostles preaching, and they are arrested. And during the night, the latter part of chapter 5, during the night, they're released, and they're told to go preach in the temple. And so they go preach, and they went to get him. Remember the story? They went, they said, "Go get him." Told the officers to go get him out of prison. They came back, and they said they're not there. The doors was closed, but they're not there. And then as they were wondering what was going on, somebody came up and said, "Hey, those guys you put in prison, they're teaching and preaching." They just couldn't stop preaching and teaching. You know, a man that I thought of as I was going through here was Acts chapter 9, the story of Ananias. And we'll come back to some of those others in a minute. But in Acts chapter 9, and the conversion of Saul, we know him as Paul. When Paul was told to go to the city and he'll be told what to do, and so he was led, remember, blinded. For 3 days he couldn't see, he wouldn't eat. And in verse 10 it says, "In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision and he answered, 'Yes, Lord.' And the Lord told him, 'You go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying.'" But the angel said, in the vision, he was told, "You go to the exact place, name the street, name the house. You go and you tell this one that's been waiting for you." Because he's had a vision. Notice verse 12. "In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore sight." So Paul, I'm just sitting here thinking, everybody that Paul heard walk by, he was probably saying, "Are you Ananias?" Just waiting for Ananias to come. But Ananias, when the Lord told him that, the first thing Ananias said, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." And I get the opinion Ananias is saying, "You really want me to do that? Do you really know who this guy is?" But he went, didn't he? He went and he told him. Ananias went to the house in verse 17. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me that so you may receive, you may see again, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Ananias could have told God, "No, I don't want to risk going to get punished." But he didn't. He preached the word. He went and told the message to Saul. And Saul became that great preacher. You know, you keep reading here, what did Saul do? The first thing that he started to do, at verse 20, at once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is a Son of God. You know, a thought occurred to me. Those men that traveled with Saul to Damascus, I wonder what they were thinking when they saw Saul now, instead of persecuting these Christians, he's teaching that Jesus is the Christ. I wonder what those people that had went with him, what they thought. But Saul began to preach and teach about Jesus Christ. And we're talking, as we get farther, we look at Saul, who later we know as Paul. Starting in chapter 13, most of the book, the rest of the book is about him as he goes on his missionary journeys from place to place, teaching the message of Jesus, telling others about the Son of God. You know, I think it's interesting here in Damascus. Verse 21 says, "All who heard him were astonished and said, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of the plans. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And they let him go. And he was free from persecution at that time. Next week, I want us to look at what happens when the gospel is preached. And we'll look at the persecutions that Paul went through and different things. You know, another man we could look at is Philip, from Acts chapter 8. Those that were scattered, what did they do? They preached the word. He didn't name the names there, just those that were scattered preached the word. And then the writer focuses on Philip, that he preached the word. Then he went to the Gaza Road, remember, and talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. At the end of chapter 8, it says that Philip traveled preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Then if you turn over, I think it's to chapter 21, when Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, he goes to Caesarea and he stays at the house of Philip. Years later, he stays at the house of Philip. And Philip and all those in the house beg Paul not to go to Jerusalem. because that prophet had come down and said, whoever owns this belt will be persecuted and arrested in Jerusalem. The same Philip that was scattered is now begging that Paul not go to Jerusalem. But Philip preached the word. We could look at Barnabas. Barnabas was a preacher. You know, I wanted to make sure to look in Acts chapter 18. We're introduced to Aquila and Priscilla as they went. Paul met them and stayed with them and worked with them because they were tent makers together. Verse 1 of chapter 18, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see him, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. And every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But we have a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, as they're making tents, but they're preaching. And as you keep on reading, you find about, you're introduced to a man by the name of Apollos. Let me get my notes going here. In chapter 18 and verse 26, I want you to notice. Meanwhile, verse 24, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, there's a study right there. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but notice how it describes Apollos. He preached about Jesus. But notice the next verse. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Wouldn't you like to have been in that conversation as they talked to Apollos, teaching him more about Jesus? When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scripture that Jesus was the Christ. We don't hear much about Apollos, but he must have been some kind of preacher. He must have been some kind of a servant, that he refuted them vigorously. I mean, we touched the hem of the garments on this, I know. But who told the message? The believers. What did they do? As they went, they preached the message. Wherever it was, they preached the message. A desert road, a house, a synagogue, a temple. They preach the message. And that's what we can do. Wherever we go, preach the message. Let's have a word of prayer as we conclude. Father, thank you for blessing us. Help us to be your servants, Father. Help us to find those opportunities you give us to share your message with those around us. Father, it might just be a kind word. It might be somebody needing help and able to help. But Father, as we're doing that, we're preaching about Jesus. We're showing others your love. Help us to be your servants, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.